Welcome to this interview. I'm Megan Gibson, co-host of the Relationship Super Conference. I'm happy to be joined today by Ryan Patrick, one of the top 10 dating and relationship coaches for women on YouTube. Since 2014, Ryan has guided his clients in psychological methods and practices to help them find themselves before they can discover the right men in their lives. In today's interview, we'll be talking about the strategies and practical tools of dating, as well as the deeper psychological needs all people have when looking for love. Ryan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Megan, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So Ryan, what are some of the most common issues that come up with clients when a woman is in the process of searching for a male partner?
I think that it's what I would see typically, and I really use my YouTube channel as the barometer. The comments coming in, that's really where I go. And that's where I really hear from the community first and foremost. And I feel that the first area that people kind of look at is more of that surface sort of area, okay? It's more of the technical stuff, the technical hangups where people tend to get hung up. And that could be, am I texting this guy too much? Am I, you know, saying the right things? And, you know, that really is an entry point to a much deeper discussion that ends up taking place, right? I think we tend to see, you know, very tangential sort of problems in our just immediate space where we're not getting the result that we want in a day-to-day sort of fashion. So what do? We look at the steps that we took to get to the place that we're at, and the result isn't what we're looking for. So we start really diving into the technicals, and it just becomes chasing one technical fail after another. And what ends up happening is you get kind of further away from the real core issue, which is your mental state, the things that the drives, the desires that are really kind of propelling you to do the things that you're doing in the present day. And that's why I love having my YouTube channel. It's just sort of a catalyst on a lot of different levels for women to have these conversations with me, have these conversations with other women in the community, and more importantly, like have these conversations with themselves. It just really gets the gears turning. And I think that, you know, to really answer your question, it's really the technical how-to kind of stuff, the texting, you know, how do I move a guy from texting to get him on the first date? That's a really big one, you know, big hurdle that they're trying to kind of jump over.
So I imagine if we walk through that, you know, somebody comes to your channel and they're looking for guidance, or they send you a message or something because they're having frustrations either texting with someone that they're interested in, or they're on a dating app or something and they're messaging. And what they're saying is like, you know, I sent a bunch of messages. I thought things were going well. And then this person dropped off or stopped talking to me or said I wasn't the right fit for them. What did I do wrong? And really what they're saying is, what did I say wrong? How could I have said this differently, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is really, like I mentioned, it's just really the start of the conversation. They think they're coming to the channel to what I call one of my bubblegum videos. Okay, this is just the easiest connection point, I think, on a level that we can all sort of talk about, because talking about these surface types things are, I think, really easy for us to do. It's just real lighthearted stuff. The videos tend to have a lot more humor. So it's just really that entry point. And what ends up happening is we hang on whatever particular issue of the day is, if I put out a texting video, we're talking about texting. But then I'm able to have a little bit of a dialogue where I can point women towards other videos that I actually have on my channel, or a particular playlist, you know, that I think will really benefit them, where we really start talking about more of the psychological things that are happening with a breakup, for example. I think those videos actually are the ones that really get the deepest sort of conversation going. My videos on narcissism, just because I have just a really strong touch point with that in my life and my history. Breaking up, you know, having your heart handed to you, essentially. So yes, I would say that, yes, you think you're coming in talking about this one thing over here, but we're quickly going to get to a place, hopefully, if you stay with the thread, the conversation thread and comments long enough, where we're going to start giving you some more thought-provoking ideas. And the beautiful thing is, it's not just me driving those conversations anymore. We have a really strong community of women that have been through the fire. They've been through these issues. They've been on the channel long enough to know that I'm really trying to guide the conversation, and I'm not trying to be a leader of any level. I just want to really be a catalyst to start the conversation and really have the community be a base of support for, you know, all of the new women and men. We have men on the channel as well. I don't want to leave them out, but you know, really have it be more of a community oriented thing that we're really trying to grow together.
So you mentioned, you know, that a lot of times the entry point is these kind of tactics and looking for recommendations on how they should behave or what they should say differently, and then they're going to go for a deeper dive. And give me an example of some of those psychological needs that they're trying to get met with this kind of analysis of all this tactical stuff.
Well, I think one of the biggest sort of psychological conversations that we'll have is about confidence. You know, the first thing to go out the window when you break up with someone or you get ghosted on text by the guy that you've maybe had two dates with and you're wondering, like, where did he go? Your confidence takes a blow. And there are some real deep stuff going on when your confidence sort of bottoms out. So we really need to talk about confidence, but we need to do it on a couple different levels. One of which is the surface game, right? Which is really figuring out what your boundaries are with the new men that you're meeting. Not only trying to figure out what you're looking for in a man, but what stuff you're willing to put up with in terms of shoddy behavior in the short term when you're first getting to know a guy. So for example, just to give you an example, you know, I have my 2-week rule. So the 2-week rule is that if a man isn't guiding the conversation and leading to getting in front of you for a face-to-face date, I know it's been hard with COVID, but if a man is not proactively trying to see you within the first 2 weeks of either messaging him on a dating app or texting, he's a next. And when I say a next, it's like on to the next guy. Okay. So that those sort of surface game type things are really, really helpful, right? We're talking about kind of that first threshold of the conversation that we're talking about. But then that has got to lead into the psychological stuff. What's brought you to this point? Let's really look back at your value system. Let's look back to your childhood, your upbringing, you know, just your relationship with your parents. Like, these are all really critical things that led you to what's happening today, right now, with, you know, John Doe, who is, you know, he has no investment in you yet because maybe you've gone out on one date. Things, you know, your perception is that things are getting serious because maybe you've been texting with him for 3 months and you think you're growing a relationship. But really, on his end, you guys have only gone out once. And for him, he's probably texting 5 other women. You know, and I always tell my audience to assume that at that stage in this really sort of gray area of dating, right? The first handful of dates, if you can even get this guy out on date, right? If he's really that serious to take it to that level, you know, you just gotta understand that this is a sort of a full frontal attack on bringing in those surface ideas, those psychological ideas just to up your awareness of what you can do to just better yourself in the moment and give yourself a healthy distraction. Because I think sometimes we just get so pent up and we're just wanting something. This is for guys and for girls, right? I've definitely been there when you just sort of get obsessed about a path that you've taken and you really just need to take a breather, right? Sometimes we just need to take a step back and look at the bigger picture.
Right. And I imagine sometimes that need, that drive for connection, sometimes, and this happens to all people, whether they're in relationships or looking for relationships, but that need and drive for connection sometimes makes us abandon our boundaries or abandon our standards or the ways that we expect people to treat us because we're really after that connection. And so I love that you mentioned boundaries, because in all relationships all the time, and especially in new ones, we're treating people or teaching people how to treat us. So kind of whether those boundaries are explicit or implicit, that 2-week rule is great. You know, it's like if this person is not engaged and actively pursuing an in-person interaction, then they're not seriously pursuing me. And I need that information before I continue down this path, invest a bunch of time, invest a bunch of expectation in somebody that's not in the same trajectory that I'm in.
Definitely. And, you know, think about boundaries too. It is also involving those surface sort of boundaries and then those psychological boundaries, things that if you're not careful with your boundaries and really maintaining them and, you know, bolstering them on a lot of levels, that's the stuff that can really, really take a toll on you and prevent you from getting back out there and just getting back on your feet again. You know, the surface stuff, I think the 2-week rule would be a perfect example of that. But then the psychological boundaries, anybody that's been in a toxic relationship, been with a narcissistic partner, you have just this implicit knowledge of what that felt like. You knew what the red flags were, maybe not when they were happening, but when you start looking back and you get past that space of, you know, glorifying the relationship, just looking at everything that was positive about it, right? And you start really unveiling and uncovering the gaslighting, the inability for your partner to empathize with even the smallest things that, you know, were important to you. Their ability to, you know, isolate you from your support system, like all of these types of things. So that's what I really wanted to make a distinction, because I think it's important, of your psychological boundaries, which are those deeper things that you have a very strong tie to with your past, versus the surface stuff, which is like the stuff that we can kind of address pretty quickly. We can do it overnight,
right?
And just maybe have a post-it up on your computer, just say, yeah, Ryan, 2-week rule, love it, you know? And there isn't a lot of emotion or a lot of history that's like kind of lumped in there with it.
And I love that you mentioned like these psychological kind of patterns or methods of behavior and interaction that we've learned either from our family systems or the past relationships that we've had. Those all play into the subconscious ways that we allow ourselves to be treated, or the things that we overlook when we're in relationship, or the, you know, the things that we make excuses for in the way that people treat us, that are a lot more subversive and not quite as conscious as we're entering into relationships, I imagine.
Definitely. You just look at, you know, anytime I bring up values on my videos, I really think it goes over a lot of people's heads. And it's a bummer, because these are the things that really the true reasons that I wanted to create the channel, because just my background in education with psychology, I saw an opportunity to do something I hadn't really seen other dating coaches on YouTube do, which is to go deeper, but still keep it fun, right? It's the humor and everything. So, you know, talking about, you know, your relationship with money and how that's evolved. Mm-hmm. You know, and who taught you that value, right? Is it a value that you currently right now as an adult accept or reject? Because the biggest thing is you have the power to choose whether right now in your adult life if you choose to accept or reject where your first impression with that value, okay? Things stemming around sex, stemming around pain. Where did you learn pain? Just really uncovering and not being afraid to lift those big rocks and you know, leaving no stone unturned. And just be willing to look at things and just know that, sure, you contributed to the path that led you to where you are right now. But there are certain people that you've met in your life, previous, you know, romantic partners, family members, your parents, that's a big one, that you just have to fully acknowledge. And if it means forgiving, if it means just bombarding it with, you know, heart energy, we talk about energy on my channel a lot. At least I try to make that a common theme that people kind of get used to in talking about energy. So yeah, that's the fun space of my work, is really the deeper stuff, the stuff that people are probably, that's not their first choice of conversation to be. Let's talk about values today. How can we spice that up and make that like a fun 8-minute video? So,
but those are the issues that, like, once you get past those initial steps and you're in a relationship, those are the issues that make or break you a lot of times. I mean, I know in my relationship, I've been in a partnership for 15 years, but at the very beginning of it, we had very mismatched, like, financial attitudes and financial histories as far as our family systems growing up. And it created a ton of conflict where we were just kind of mismatched. And, you know, one of us had the money comes freely and abundantly often, and one of us had like a totally scarcity mindset where money created a lot of fear and psychological safety issues. And so being aware of that, having enough introspection to be able to identify those things and talk about them and just like name the thing in the room did a lot for us to just understand where each other were coming from when those financial conflicts would come up. I mean, that's one of the basis of safety in a relationship, is just kind of like, are we financially secure in our home and in our health and things like that. So yeah, those big psychological rocks are not the ones that will get you into a relationship, but they're the ones that will keep you in one if you don't look under them, right?
That's it. And I think you bring up a really good point, right? When you're talking about finances and you just being completely off with your partner of how you two view money, if anything, that's an excellent talking point. That's an excellent point of common interest that you can build on with your partner. And, you know, I know that we hear about this concept of opposites attract a lot, you know, opposites attract. And it can kind of freak people out because it's like, oh, I need to find somebody who has opposite interests than me in this type of thing. You know, I guess this could be up for debate, but what I think they're talking about when it comes to opposites attract is energy. It's, you know, and this is another big one on my channel too, of just to give you an example, women that are very strong in the business space, you know, we're talking about lawyers, real estate brokers. You know, I speak to a lot of different types of women that are just crushing it in business. And one thing that has been a common issue is that they can't understand why they can't connect with a man, even though they're crushing it in business. So their ability to connect with a client and be able to make the sale doesn't translate over to their ability to crush it with the guy on a first date. And this is that whole concept of opposites attract. Your feminine energy is what is the attraction to his masculine energy. And so we do a lot of work in that space of women can possess a lot of masculine energy. And I use the business woman example, because that's just been a very, very big one, a very common one lately, where you're not connecting with the man with your feminine energy. You're actually matching his masculine energy. And subconsciously, that can be very off-putting to a man who's in his masculine space, really yearning and seeking that, you know, sort of mystical feminine energy that you possess. And, you know, that's not to say that men can't possess feminine energy. I think that's one thing about myself, is that I'm able to step into my feminine energy and be able to connect with a large group of women or anybody that really wants to meet me with feminine energy on my channel or in person or elsewhere. So I just wanted to kind of call that out, because I think you raised a really good point to not fear the type of conversation that you're talking about with your partner about money. If you two are mismatching, just understand that the polarity, the masculine and feminine polarity that's contributing to that conversation, that's where the attraction, that's where the real good stuff comes from, I believe.
And you make a really good point about polarity and success. And I think oftentimes, you know, women, that masculine energy is something that we learn is required in order to be in the rooms where we want to be, where we want to be successful, right? Like, whether we like it or not, most of those rooms are filled with men when we get to the top, and we're CEOs or we're the head of our firm, or, you know, many of us build companies that are intentionally employ a lot of women, but most of the time we are employed by organizations that have a ton of men. And that masculine energy is something that we learn to build and strengthen to get in that room. And so I can imagine it would be a real surprise when those same qualities that have led to so much success in your personal life, or in your professional life, I mean, don't translate immediately into your personal life, especially if you are interested in someone who you see as a peer on your level in business, right? So this is a person that you would have great success with in a business negotiation. So why can't we strike off a romantic negotiation when that polarity is somehow like compartmentalized in maybe the men's point of view of like, wait a minute, I'm not at work. I need a different polarity here. And I can't necessarily verbalize that, and I can't maybe speak to it, but I know that this is not the energy I'm going for in a match in my romantic life.
I think the very nature that we're talking about this openly and just bringing some attention to it is just excellent for the greater cause. The fact that men and women alike can take a hat off and put another hat on in stepping into a masculine or feminine space with someone. So, you know, I think it's an excellent topic to sort of bring up when the fact that women have been able to just crush masculine energy in those instances where it's really helpful in business cases. But just knowing that, okay, this isn't the hat I need to like keep on after I get out of work and I'm going out to grab some happy hour drinks with my lady friends, because honestly, you step into a completely different energy when you're out socially with your group, when you're out, you know, with other members of your family that have also stepped into that feminine energy. And I don't want to hold that to one gender, right? I don't want to say like, oh, when you're out with your mom, because your mom's not always going to hold that energy. Right. Just understand that we have the ability to ebb and flow within that energy. And just knowing that men, typically, when they're on their dating apps, when they are out on a date with you, typically they're really looking for you to have that energy that you do have when you're out with your girlfriends. And it's just lighthearted and, you know, versus the way it might be in the boardroom or the way it might be in, you know, the doctor's office, where the conversation might be a little bit more serious and what have you. So I just think it's really cool that we were able to touch on this particular piece in this discussion today, because I think it's so important. And it's really something that I try to convey in my videos whenever I can. So just the fact that we can drive it home right now, awesome.
And I'm wondering, how often do you see in your videos or in your community, people talking about just even asking the question or bringing it up, like in the dating sphere of, you know, what kind of energy are you looking for? Or what kind of, what is an exciting match for you? Like if you're on a date with somebody and you're just like, you know, what kind of spark inspires you with another person? Just asking the question, putting it in the room between you. Not so that you can be and turn into the thing that they want, but just so that you can acknowledge the conversation and kind of just bring it into the room between you.
You know, that's a really interesting point because I feel the very first, sort of aspect of yourself and your connection point with a man, you're really talking about physical attraction, right? So it's kind of missing the mark when it comes to all this energy stuff. I feel even the word energy can be really sort of woo-woo to a lot of people. They're like, okay, what are we even talking about here? So that's why I try to oscillate and I try to balance out the conversation again with kind of sort of talking about this surface versus psychological stuff. So when we talk about energy, we're talking more psychological, whereas the entry point to the conversation, and I always have to keep this in mind, is the surface. Is he hot or not? What am I looking for physically? What sort of job and income does he need? Does that match with my interests? Versus, just like pulling back the layers and being like, does this guy really make you happy? Does he make you laugh on this date? Is this just kind of a point of convenience for you too, to fill up your Saturday night? And you can kind of put that check in the checkbox saying that you went out with a guy, or is there something really just going on energetically where you just can't stop yourself from smiling a little bit?
And I'm glad that you really just like named it specifically because we talk about like energy or polarity or connection, but that's really what it looks like, right? Are you smiling? Do you feel like you're an equal partner in a conversation? Does this person feel like they're interested in you? Are you attracted to them? Like those are all the ways that you can kind of feel and pin those polarities or energies between two people before you kind of get more deeply into it.
Definitely. And I just trust your instincts, right? When you're out on these dates, trust your instincts. You're going to know within the first 3 to 5 minutes if you're into this guy or not, if he's going to be able to satisfy you emotionally. That's the biggest thing. I don't care if he's hot. I don't care. You know what? Because he is never fully going to satisfy you on date number three, on date number six, date number 17. It's not going to happen for you. So, and I think that kind of brings us into this other aspect of the conversation, which is trusting your intuition. I really believe that we tend to get further and further away from our intuition when we're having just a rough patch with, these dating apps, and you've had like five guys flake out on you, the five dates that you did go on. They just weren't what you wanted. And taking a step back, you stop trusting the voice that's in your head and the one that's really trying to guide you to happiness. And even on a larger level, for anyone out there that is going through heartbreak right now and just going through that process of healing, we go through a sort of dissociative state where we really get separated from all of the things that really, really want to help us. And we start doing things out of pain and desperation. And, when we think we need to be out there and we need other people to validate who we are and that we're sexy people and we're worth it, more of a self-worth type of conversation. That's the time, and it's counterintuitive. You need to take a step back and you need to regroup with your team, right? The people that are really there to help you. And that's your intuition. That's your best buddy that's going to be there for you on those dates. The one saying, Bill, this guy isn't making the team. He's not making the cut right now. We need to give him a next. We need to not waste his time, not waste my time. It's time to get up from the table and just say thank you very much. I don't think this is going to work out.
And we hear a lot about people, and I don't know how prevalent this is in reality, but you know, hear about a lot about people just getting literally ghosted. Somebody goes to the bathroom and they never come back on a date or something like that, right? Like, I hope we don't have to state to have the human decency to just tell someone, like, I don't think that this is working out. I think we should part ways now. Like, don't leave somebody at a table in a restaurant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've actually, you know, in my single days, you know, back in my 20s, I had one woman that I'd gone out with, and she did that. She did that within the first 5 minutes. And initially it was sort of jarring, like, oh, we're not even going to finish this drink. Okay. But then, you know, later that night, I'm like, wow. Like, the sort of character that it takes for someone who just wasn't feeling it. They weren't going to just sit there for the next hour and, you know, just hash it out with me and maybe something will change. So I think you bring up a really good point, is that, you know, just communicate. If you're not feeling it, it's totally okay. And you should never be shamed by the person that you're telling that to. Feel good that you've reclaimed your time, because that's time that you're going to be able to parlay into another choice, another option.
Right. And now would be a great time to talk about, like, what those types of things mean, whether it's that you've broken up with somebody that you had just started a relationship with, or long-term even, or somebody gets up from the table after 5 minutes and says, this isn't working out. What does that mean? And what doesn't that mean about you?
Just to clarify, so you're asking if someone is able to say, this isn't working out for me?
Right, exactly. If somebody says, like, you know, I don't think we're a good match, I don't want to see you anymore, what should you take that to mean about you? And what should you just kind of, like, dismiss that does not mean about you?
Well, okay. So yeah, I do think that, you know, depending, a lot's going to determine on how long you've actually been dating that person. If you two have been exclusive for 6 months, or if you two have been married for 15 years, you can really look into the nuances of what that person is saying to you and what they really mean, right? The person that you've been in the marriage with for 15 years, you're going to be able to pick up on nuances of body language much better than you would with the guy that you've only had two dates with, right? So
right.
I think that early on, like I said, in that sort of gray area of dating, that first handful of dates, I think it's pretty safe to say that you can just take someone at their word when they say this just isn't working out. I think too many people, again, men and women alike, because we all do this, where we try to salvage what we perceive to be a much larger investment than we actually have with that person. And a lot of this is caused by some of the previous problems that we discussed, which is having a never-ending text conversation with someone who's not even, you know, in your state, right, or country for 6 months, and thinking that you two sending photos back and forth of trips that you've been on, even though they were completely unsolicited, right? This is actually a subconscious tactic that we use to get people more invested in us, but we're really not actually putting true investment in with that person. So you've got that end of the spectrum, and just take it for what it is. If a guy is saying he's just not into it, just thank you. Just thank them in your mind. You don't have to say it verbally. Just say thank you, because now you get to peel off. But you know, if you're in an unfortunate situation where your husband is saying this to you, there are a lot of different things, a lot of different ways the conversation could go at that point. I'm a huge proponent of therapy, couples therapy, because there are going to be underlying things that probably have built up over months, if not years and years, that may just need to be rewired and cleaned up. And you two could be having a completely different conversation about, I don't think this is working out, you know, maybe a month or two of after being in there with a really, really good therapist to sort of get you two back on the same page communication-wise.
Right. Because there's so many issues that we talk around, because we just don't have the tools to address directly. So I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I'm a huge proponent of marriage therapy as well. So obviously your YouTube channel is geared mainly towards women and you have a largely female audience. Say more about that. Like, how did you stumble into that audience? Was it intentional? And why don't you think more men are looking for the kind of work and the guidance that you're putting out?
Well, so I've been coaching, I guess, full time since 2014. And that whole path was interesting because I had had my heart broken nearly a decade ago and really wasn't doing well there for a few years. And it was a guy at my gym whose name was Jim, ironically, who said that my solution was actually buried in my problem. He was a very good friend of mine and he was a hypnotherapist too, ironically enough. And what I ended up doing was just basically talking to other people that were in my situation and really working my, I guess, communication skills and whatever emotional intelligence I had on board at that point to really help people feel better and give them perspective about their healing process and where they were going. So that is kind of how everything came to be. I think I just really connect with women in a much different way than I communicate with men because of my upbringing. I have 5 sisters. We have a very matriarchal family. My grandmother is a natural born matchmaker. She's responsible for like 5 different marriages. And, you know, it just so happened that when I would speak to one person, the sort of referral base, I guess you would say, it wasn't men that were being referred to me, it was women. And it was just this whole sort of cyclical situation where all of a sudden, at least 90% of the folks I was talking to were women. And it, you know, YouTube, I really wanted to sort of niche down and really talk about those sort of psychological, not the, I guess, the sexier topics, but more of the deeper stuff. And I just feel that, you know, we as men sometimes need a little push to have that deeper conversation. So that's why I'm really happy that we do have, you know, a fairly stronger male viewership that's actually growing. These topics are starting to sort of land with them a little bit more. But I just remember when I was a younger person, I wasn't really connecting with those topics, right? It was more oriented around pickup and the art of seduction and, you know, sort of the get results quick sort of mentality.
Right.
And I would never fault anybody for thinking that way because I was very much thinking that that's what I needed once upon a time, just trying to go through my own struggles. But, you know, it's a circuitous route to sort of get to this space, which I think we're just having much more meaningful conversations. If you read through some of my top videos in the threads, you're going to see common names of people and they'll have like a little emblem or something next to their name that you know that they are a regular in the community. And, you know, it's just kind of taken on a life of its own. So I'm really happy that I did kind of start there because that's just what I feel I know at my core is those types of deeper emotional sort of topics, talking about intimacy and think, you know, it's just not, I don't know, definitely as a younger person, I was like, I didn't even know what intimacy was. So
right.
I think that's kind of how things came to be. But that's my best guess just based on my conversations with the folks that we have in our community on YouTube.
Got it. So like, as far as developmentally, women are just in a place where they want to analyze these things and get some help more so than, and we're broadly overgeneralizing here, but more so than the men.
Completely, completely. And, you know, there is a lot of people that say, well, why do we have to do all the work as women? Why do we have to do all the work? And that's just kind of an unfortunate, I guess, byproduct of what my real point is with all of that, is that I wanted a space where I could be able to talk about the things that I really know and I see, and then I talk to people about en masse. And there's so many different commonalities. Like, there's, you could probably narrow it down to maybe 10 to 12 common problems that people that are coming to the channel are going through. They really kind of circle around 10 to 12 different things. And it's just, we need to have focus. We need to pull in people that are ready to have that conversation. If it is men, we welcome you. We're in for that. It just so happens that if you look at the stats right on the channel, it's about 95% women that are either subscribed or watching the channel. So I'm not sure what the YouTube algorithm, how that's playing into the things that I'm talking about, but that's the way things have been.
Got it. All right. So let's shift into talking about online dating. What is the state of online dating right now? What's it look like? What's it look like coming out of COVID? Ironically, I was a teacher for a long time at college level, and the students that I had that were struggling the most in relationships and dating actually had great success during COVID, which surprised the heck out of me. So give me kind of what your assessment of the online dating scene is right now.
I think online dating has really been tapped out. People are just like, I'm just done sort of thing. And, you know, because of COVID, there has just been one fortunate thing that I think that's risen to the surface is this idea of romance scams. So I just want to touch on that real quick, because there's a lot of money that's being lost out there to, you know, people that are in vulnerable states. And this is men and women. Again, we don't want to generalize when it comes to this stuff. But if there's a person out there and they have access to your story, if you posted something in your online dating profile and you got divorced or something, these people will play on your emotions, and to the point where they're a contractor in the Middle East or they're military service member in Africa. Those are the two big ones right now, okay? And all of a sudden, they'll be asking you to send them $40,000, $50,000. I can't even tell you how frequently this comes up. So I just wanted to touch on it as an exclamation point. This is so rampant right now, and we have to tuck in romance scams. So please, please, please be careful. These people know nothing about you until you spent some substantial time with them face to face. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think people are really becoming hip to fake profiles, fake photos, and just fake personas online. And if I were to make a guess about where the online dating space is going, I think you're going to start to see people move into like Clubhouse style dating apps. I think these things are going to start cropping up. So instead of relying on a photo, you're going to be able to go to a room like a Clubhouse type environment where you can actually talk to people in these rooms. You can hear their voice, and therefore your first touch point with that person is hearing them rather than seeing them. They're going to need something else there. Beyond that, I think that online dating should be a part of your arsenal. I feel that now that people are getting vaccinated, people are out and about, you need to have a two-pronged approach. And there's no reason to, you know, shun online dating. There are people out there that are still having a lot of success. And we, you know, I do have videos about this on my channel, but there are plenty of platforms that are really showing people results. And so I won't be the one that will bash online dating, because I think it can be very, very useful. You just want to be very careful about giving away too much information about yourselves in your profiles. Think about your online dating profile as the appetizer for the other individual looking at your profile versus the main course. Okay. So all too often, we want to give way too much information about ourselves because it feels good. Self-disclosure feels great to put ourselves out there. But a lot of these folks, they're not deserving of our story yet. and just really
I love
keep.
that. I need to make a point. Sorry to interrupt you, but
Oh, yeah.
I really like what you just said there. It's, you know, make sure that people are deserving of your whole self before you're just like kind of giving it away.
Definitely. And just keep it super simple, right? We use the KISS acronym for a lot of things in life and business. Let's apply it right now. Keep it super simple. 3 to 5 photos of yourself. Make sure, you know, these are just photos that you're not taking selfies of yourself. These are photos that people are taking of you in just a unique environment where you're happy, you're in your element. I know it's been hard to do the last year and a half, but now it's time to scrap all your old online dating profiles, because I know a lot of folks out there are rolling out photos from like, you know, 2-3 years ago, and it just set me up for disappointment, because people are expecting this version of you that existed in the way, way past, right? So just trying to think of like the big things that I've been seeing.
I want to go back just for a second to the romantic scams that you talked about. And essentially, these are what's referred to as phishing scams, PH phishing scams. And they used to just happen over email to people that were trying to get people to, you know, I was a consumer reporter for a very long time. So it used to be people were buying cars online, or people were selling horses, and it would be, you know, a prince from a different country on a different continent trying to, you know, get my son is in jail and he needs to, lots of different ways. This is just the most recent of phishing scams. But that's alarming to me, because it feels so much more vulnerable, right? If somebody sends me a cold email that I don't know saying that their son is trapped in jail and needs $15,000, like that's an easy delete. But if I'm a vulnerable person who's really looking for connection and somebody takes advantage of my being too honest on my dating profile and then manipulates me into giving them money, that's much deeper hurt and a much deeper violation, it feels like to me. So I want to just really spell that out for people. And I can also imagine that somebody who hasn't been in the dating world for a little bit, perhaps they just had a breakup or the, God forbid, the death of a spouse or something like that, and they are just back into the dating world, that they might be kind of easy prey for these kinds of things. So I like to really spell it out explicitly. Outside of what we just talked about, what are your best tips for women trying to get back into the dating game or just for the first time?
Well, if you're just getting back out there, or even if you're just getting out there for the first time, I think you have an excellent opportunity right now to really cultivate your own group and your own group dynamic. I'm a huge proponent, and I did this back in the day with starting my own meetup group. Okay. And the cool thing about starting a group, whether it's on Meetup or you can, there's many, many different ways you can start a group where you actually get together, is that you are the curator of the energy coming in. So if you like hiking, starting your own hiking group, you know, preferably things that you can do out in public with other people rather than bringing people to your own space. And you are seen as the conductor, right? You're the one that everyone is kind of looking towards to keep the good vibes flowing. And it's a lot easier than you think too. But if somebody's coming in and, you know, energetically, they're just not vibing with other people in the group, you've got the power to kick them out, you know, especially through Meetup. It's really easy to just say up and just remove them from the group sort of thing. So I would say putting yourself out there and just getting used to getting out of your house, getting out of your apartment, wherever you happen to be, and get reconnected with your inner circle group of friends again. Get reconnected with your brother and sister that are on the other side of town. Go have a croissant with them. Get used to being in front of people, because really what's happened is we've taken a huge hit on the social dynamic poll. We've kind of taken a hit on being able to read the idiosyncrasies of facial body language, because we've been all masked up for so long. So, you know, just don't be afraid to recognize what your interests were but what your interests really are now that we're, you know, we're all kind of coming back to the surface and we're ready to go out and play again. Don't be afraid to do personal development work, just a little sort of self-reflection. Doesn't have to be a big thing. Doesn't have to be big at all, actually. Just a self-audit where you can maybe take 5 minutes out of your day, maybe grab like the Headspace app, the meditation app, and you let these folks, you know, guide you through a meditation for 10 minutes. And then you just sit there with your thoughts and you can really audit your thought process, your conversations you're having about whether you're worth it, whether you're, you know, how you're doing basically when you go out with these guys and how you're being perceived, and just knowing that your intuition, that voice that's always there to help you and guide you, will be there for you. Those would probably be the biggest things right now, of just quick things that anybody can do to go out there and make it happen.
I love that, you know, that your advice was not like, well, set up your profile this way. It was, go remember how to interact with people doing things that you love and that interest you, regardless of what they are. And don't be afraid to lead that initiative. Create the group that you want to see in the world, and you will meet people through that. And they might not even be people in that group, but they might be the brother or the coworker or the friend of a person in that group that's gotten to know you and said, gosh, you'd be really great for so-and-so. I love that it's not just like, oh yeah, immediately sign up for these apps and do this way. It's no, go remember how to be a person, and also pay attention to yourself and your inner voice and the way that you talk to yourself, the way that you believe in yourself, because that's going to affect the way that people perceive you. It's going to affect the way people treat you as well. Yeah. As a parent, I'm constantly telling my kids, like, you've got to be the nicest to yourself more than anybody else in your life. That inner voice in your head's got to be the kindest to you of the entire world, because that's going to be with you forever.
And it's not the easiest thing to do, right? If you're not to doing that, setting up that sort of self-audit mechanism, that feedback loop with yourself. It's not with anybody else. It's not with your best friend. This is something that you're doing with yourself, where it needs constant checking in, right? This is how you clarify your voice within yourself, with your intuition, to make sure you two are on the same page. And really, that is transcendent. That is going to carry into your interactions and your communication, expertise with future partners, with your family, with your friends. And people will notice something's a little different, because you have bolstered that relationship with yourself. It takes consistency. It takes practice. But once you start doing it for a couple weeks, you don't even think about it. It's just part of your day.
And I know that there's a huge difference between just kind of like sitting with yourself, telling yourself how awesome you are without any sort of like responsibility or regard, right? Like, you're like, I'm amazing. I'm perfect. I don't know what anybody else's problem is, right? But then there's obviously, like, you want to be kind to yourself, but there's also an accountability. Like, you can say, like, you know, I didn't treat that person the way that I really expect myself to treat people. I can do better. It doesn't mean I'm a terrible person. It means I'm going to learn from this and change and act differently next time, right? Like, kind of a self-accounting with responsibility and forgiveness and a lot of grace for yourself. Or I can imagine if you've got body image issues, especially coming out of COVID, and you've got all the pressure of coming back into society or trying to find a partner, and just spending some time being really grateful to your body instead of criticizing it, right? It's like, this body has gotten me this far. I'm super grateful. I'm in it still. I am alive. It's carried me through all these things. It's gotten me through all of this life. It's supported all of the things that I've done so far, those kinds of things.
Totally. And, you know, if an apology here or there is necessary, if you maybe feel like you screwed up on a date and you get a chance to go out on again and just be like, hey, you know, I feel like I may have come off a certain way, so I just wanted to, you know, clear the air and just let you know that I recognize that. But also, if you need an apology, to give that to yourself too, the things, the choices that we've made, like you just discussed, if you let it get to to a place where you're just getting down about yourself because you've been consistently maybe not good to yourself on a physical level of, you know, whatever you may have consumed food wise or whatever it may be, that's not the end game, right? Now we're having a conversation about it. You're having a conversation with, in your head, just, you know, being able to say, I'm sorry, but it's time to move on. I'm ready to rock this out. Like, let's get it going. Now I can make a whole nother slew of decisions for myself that are going to empower me, that are going to bolster my self-worth, my confidence level, and just my results in general, whether it be, you know, dating and relationships or just other corners of your life.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Megan. I really appreciate you having me here today.
And if people want to find out more about you, where can they do that?
Sure. So you can just type in Dating Coach Ryan Patrick on YouTube in the search bar there. You'll see my channel come up pretty quickly. You can also check out boyfriendblueprint.com. You can check out the latest things that we've got going on there. There are sort of multiple touch points. If you just have a quick question that you'd like to ask me, or if you'd like to have a deeper, you know, sort of one-on-one conversation for an hour, there'll be ways for you to sort of get in touch with me through boyfriendblueprint.com.
Amazing. Ryan Patrick, thank you very much.
Thank you, Megan.